This morning to Psalms chapter 37, Psalms chapter number 37. As I was reading through the Psalms, I believe it was last month, I came across this passage of scripture and the Lord kind of led me to say, that's what I want to preach on, or that's what I want. He wants to preach on the graduation fellowship night. And as I've been studying it and looking at it, it's a two-part message. So we'll be looking at Psalms 37, chapters, verses 1 through 8, not only this morning, but also tonight. And I know what some of you are thinking, okay, it's for the graduating seniors. I don't have to listen. No, that's not it. There's a lot of great things in these verses. It's actually probably my favorite Psalms. I was sitting in a church service on a Wednesday night, and the preacher got up and says, go ahead and turn your Bible to everybody's favorite Psalm. And he thought he was talking about Psalms 23. And they said, well, how many people has Psalms 23 as their favorite? And only a few people rose their hand. And then he asked the crowd, you know, what's some of the favorites? And a few people said Psalms 119. Some said Psalms 1. And as I thought about it, Psalms 37 is just a wonderful passage of scripture. And there's a lot of great things in here. When you go to verse number 25, some of us know that one. It says, this is David writing this. It says, I have been young and now am old. And so I picture David here, King David, probably one of the greatest Bible characters that we know of and we preach about. Probably David was mentioned more in the Bible than any other character besides Jesus Christ. God used him in a great way. I know what everybody remembers, the sin with Bathsheba. Everybody remembers the counting of the people. But David here, as an old man, a godly man who's seen much in his life and seen him taken out as a shepherd boy all the way now to where he's been a very successful king, only man to be called a man after God's own heart in the Bible. And we come to the spot, David is giving some advice. I think it's wonderful to give advice. And as we're looking, especially for young people and those that are getting ready to maybe go to college or off into the workforce and things like that, that these are some wonderful things. Another thing I like about Psalms 37 is it answers two questions. In it, it answers a lot of questions, but it answers two questions that many Christians struggle with. And I think inside this passage of scripture and the message this morning and the message tonight will be a help and a blessing to any believer, young and old. First thing I think I want you to look at is to understand that the question of why do the wicked prosper? And in verses 1 and 2, he begins to talk about this and about the wicked prospering and how we should look at it and what we should do to deal with it. And as you consider this, David understood this. David was anointed probably as a young man to be king of Israel, probably under 16, knowing he had to be king of Israel. He knew he was going to be the next king. And then there was a wicked king later on that would try to hunt him down like a dog. And he would go and he wandered throughout the wilderness running for his life. And he's going back and he says, this is how you should deal with those that you look at. And you say, how come they're prospering? How come it seems like they get everything they want and everything they desire? And David here is saying, let me give you some advice. And I think as we go out into the world and we see that there's a lot of people in the world, especially those that are wicked, those that are heathen, those that do not believe in God, and it seems like, well, they have more stuff. It seems like they have more enjoyment. It seems like they have so much going for them. You talk about that Hollywood crowd or that professional sports crowd. Many times those are not believers, and they say, how come they get to have all this? And we as Christians seem like we're suffering and that we're afflicted. Look what it says in verses 1 and 2. And picture David as an old man, a man after God's own heart, giving this advice to the next generation and to all of us. Verse number 1, the Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. I think in this story you see that David is saying, the ungodly, we must consider their end. When you're considering all those people out there today that maybe are not, that are living for the devil or living for the world and it seems like they're prospering, he says, don't worry about them, don't fret about them, consider what their end is going to be like. And that's how David tells him to deal with it. So that doesn't make enough, that doesn't give me enough. Well, he continues on by in the next three verses, giving three different commandments that will help us in order to deal with this issue. But before we go any farther, I want you for a second to consider your end. I had the privilege of going to Leary Buddy Swain's funeral on Thursday, and it was a wonderful service. I believe the preacher did a good job. Music was good. And, you know, It was unexpected that he passed away. I know Miss Patty would covet your prayers. And when you come to this, you know, life is short. We don't know when the end is going to be. And I personally have heard Buddy's testimony. I believe he's in heaven today because based on the testimony of the Word of God. But consider your end today, just for a moment. Some of you might be saying, hey, I'm excited because my end is someday going to be with the Savior. It's going to be in heaven and I'm going to worship Him for all of eternity. And I get to be with the streets of gold and with my mansion. But more importantly, and best of all, I get to be with Jesus Christ. And if that's your end, and praise the Lord, we know that's where we're headed, then great, we're excited about that, and we can worship Him for that. But when we consider end, there might be some in this room today that says, I don't know where I'm going to go after I die. And as we get ready to get into this message to help people understand how to deal with the hard questions of life and how to learn how to delight in the Lord, first make sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. The Bible says that all men are lost and that all men are sinners and all men need a Savior. And Jesus Christ came and shed His blood for our sins. And there is no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to repent of those sins and call upon Him. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that He is Lord and that He is the Savior of the world and that He died for your sins. In a little while, we're going to have an invitation at the end of the service. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. Consider your end. Consider what's going to happen to you after you die. You say, well, I know that most of you, I've heard most of your testimonies, and you come to this spot and say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm on my way to heaven, and I ask that same question. How come it seems like everybody else is prospering? How come it seems like the wicked are winning? How come it seems like everything's good is happening for the people that are doing wrong? And He says, look, consider their end. And then He tells them to do three different things. Well, there's more than three in there, but we're going to focus on three. First, number three, the Bible says, trust in the Lord. And then right after that, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse number four is where we're going to spend most of our time at, or at least the main thought is, delight thyself. Now, it's not just trusting in Him. He says, delight thyself. Find pleasure, extreme pleasure in what? In the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Isn't that, I think that's a great thought there. Now, the next question that many times Christians struggle with is found in this verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Let's most of us go back and think about what it was like when we graduated from high school. I said, well, whether you graduated or didn't graduate, there's some point in your life when you were getting ready to go into that teenage years of that adulthood. All those dreams, all those aspirations, all those things you wanted to do. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a lawyer because I wanted to make a lot of money. My youngest son does, you know, once again, God calls and God moves people. He thinks he wants to be a lawyer, not just to make a lot of money, but his plan is world domination. You can ask him after church. He wants to go and he wants to dominate the world. Hopefully when it's his graduation fellowship in a few years, I can say that he's changed those plans, but that's what he wants to do. And he has a plan if you want to hear it. So he wants to help change the world for good. I'm sure that's what the plan is. But he says, well, I'm not, and another question that the many Christians answer today, why am I not getting my prayers answered? Why is God not giving me the desires of my heart? It says it right there. He says, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We all know those requests, all those requests about those prayers. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will give it to thee. He's like, why is that not happening? And we're going to look at that. It's the idea that first of all, we have to delight ourselves in the Lord. Not just trust in Him, not just commit to Him, but we actually had to find pleasure in our relationship with God. And we'll look at that in a second. Verse number five. So we talk, David says, look, don't fret about it. Verse number three says, trust in the Lord. Verse number four says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse number five, commit thy way unto the Lord. So now you need to make a commitment here. Not only have you learned to trust in Him, not only have you learned to enjoy this relationship, now commit to God. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Now look what it says, trust also in Him. So there's not only just a commitment of one time saying, okay, I'm committing. It means that once I commit, I'm going to trust in him. And look what the next phrase says, and he shall bring it to pass. There's a lot of times in our lives we make a commitment and we think God is going to do something, but we got to learn how to wait and let God do the work. Trust in the Lord. He says, commit thy way to him. Okay, you've committed to him. Now you trust in him. You've committed to him. Now trust in him and he shall bring it to pass. He's going to bring it to pass in his time. We're going to look at that in a minute too. Let's keep on going in verse number 6, and it says, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. We're going to look a little bit at that tonight, talking about how God will fight for you in a sense. He'll bring your righteousness up. You don't have to do it yourself. And your judgment, you'll see that as you trust in him, as you delight in him, as you commit to him, that evildoers might say wicked things about you, but God will allow your righteousness to come out and to the light. Verse number 7 is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, at least one of my favorite phrases, rest in the Lord. I tell you, one of the things that many people are looking for today is true biblical rest. There's so much anxiety, there's so much worry, there's so many problems. And David is saying, okay, now look, don't fret about them. Learn how to trust in him. Learn to delight in him. Learn to commit in him. And then once you do all those things, rest in God. Rest in the Lord. And then it says, and wait patiently for him. I think that's a wonderful phrase, and we're going to look at that a little bit tonight, what true biblical rest is. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse number 8 is the last verse we're going to read from this passage today, this morning. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thankful for today. Thankful for the chance to be here. Thankful for the opportunity to open your word. Thank you for the example of David. And Lord, even in himself, in his scriptures, it says that he is older now. He's a man who's lived for God the majority of his life, even known as a man that is a man after God's own heart. Help us to learn these principles because they're from your word, not just because they're from David. But also let us understand that he had lived through these things, and he's explaining this to the next generation, to the ages, to many, many people. Help us learn to trust, help us to learn to delight, and help us learn to commit. In Jesus' name, amen. So three things this morning. The first thing I want you to see is found in verse number 3 is trust in the Lord. Trust in God. If we really have these questions and we're wondering, considering why in the world does it seem like the evildoers are prospering, the Bible says, look, don't be envious of them. Consider their end and just trust in the Lord. It's simply put, you need to learn to trust in God. It's having faith, being able to walk with him. And this is a walk that's by faith. It's not by sight. We must remember that things are never as they appear in our human vision. But when we take a closer look, we can say, you know what? I can trust in God. It's living Romans 8:28. We can believe that God can work all things together for good. And we can believe that God can take all the different things in our lives and say, okay, I can make something happen. As we consider young people and old people today, you know what? Simply put, we need to trust in God. We don't need to worry about all the other things, what the evildoers are doing, what everybody else is doing. Trust in the Lord, and what's the next phrase? And do good. I don't know what better encouragement we can do is, look, trust in the Lord and do good. And there's even a promise that's connected to it. Look what it says here. It says, so shalt thou dwell in the land. And once again, he's writing this to the nation of Israel, but it's a future thing that he's going to take care of him, that God's going to take care of him as he trusts in the Lord and do good. And verily thou shalt be fed. That means if you're going to trust in God and you're going to do good, you know what's going to happen? God is going to take care of you. We don't have to worry about where the next meal is going to come from, because God says, look, you're going to be fed. If you're going to trust in the Lord and you're going to do good, God's going to take care of you. One preacher put it this way. As I was studying, he put it this way. He says, you may be able to prove me wrong, but I've never met a tithing Christian who did not have enough food to eat. And one pastor, like I said, he says, you may be able to prove me wrong. He says, you might be able to come to me and show me or meet me. He says, but I've never met a tithing Christian that did not have enough to eat. And you look at what it says in verse number 25. I have been young and an old. I am now old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Man, isn't that wonderful? God will not forsake us, nor his seed begging bread. Over and over, we can see in the Bible, it tells us to trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If we want to know how to deal with those that are prospering, how to deal with evildoers, or how to deal with people that are saying bad things about us, trust in God. Young people, you're going to face a lot of challenges. You're going to face a lot of hardships. And the example and the advice that David's giving above all else, and first of all, is look, trust in the Lord and do good. The Bible even says if we'll trust in him, that he will lead us and guide us. Isaiah 26:3 puts it this way, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace. If many times people are wondering and they're worried and they're anxious and we have a world full of people that just are overwhelmed and overcome. But the Bible is not only just offering peace, not only just the peace that passeth all understanding. He says, if you want to have perfect peace in this world, put your mind on God. Trust in him. The mind who stays on he. That's the one that God will give perfect peace to them. Trust in me, he says. He says, in whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. It's trust in the Lord. The second thing, and I know most of us say, of course we're supposed to trust in God. Of course we're supposed to have faith in God. How else can you become a Christian? How else can you be saved? I trust God that he has saved my soul and that he will keep me and someday I'll be in heaven. But the point is with that, you have no control over that. There is nothing you can do to save your soul. You know, Jesus Christ did that work. There is no other way to heaven. No matter how much good work you do or how many things you try to do to win favor of God, there's nothing. You have to trust God with that. And sometimes when there are circumstances, we come to the spot and like, God, there's nothing else I can do. I need to trust in you. But here's the second point where I think most of us and many of us miss. Not only does he tell us to trust in him, he actually says, delight thyself also in the Lord. I looked up this word delight. To have or to take pleasure, to receive great pleasure in, to affect with great pleasure, be greatly pleased. Yes, we have to trust in him because we have no choice, but the question is, do we delight in him? Do we find pleasure in God? Do we find pleasure in God's circumstances? Do we find pleasure in God's word? You say, Pastor, that sounds foolish. How can a person delight in God? I tell you that this is what I think the key is that many Christians miss today. Do we have pleasure in our relationship with God? Do we enjoy reading our Bible? Do we enjoy serving the Lord? Now, once again, this is not something I'm making up. It says here, David, a man after God's own heart, a man in Psalms 119 that said multiple times that he delighted in his statutes. Psalms 119:16 says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy words. Psalms 119:24, thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Psalms 119:35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Psalms 119:47, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Their heart is fat as grease, but I will delight in thy law. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have been perished in my affliction. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, for thy law is my delight. There are many people today who does not understand this precept. If we will learn to delight in God and delight in God's way, then he says he will give us the desires of our heart. Don't we want our prayers answered? When we read passages of scriptures that ask that question, it says, you know, that God will answer our prayers. Whatever we ask, where do we falter at? Do we take pleasure in God? For instance, you think about it, a young man and a young lady, they start dating and they start delighting in one another and they start having pleasure in a relationship. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about they're enjoying one another's company. They think this might be the right one. They think this might be it. And they delight in one another. They think it's great. And as they're delighting in one another, they're hoping that someday it will end up being a relationship in the future. Because they delighted in them. They took pleasure in one another. But, you know, what happens if a parent steps in and says, that's not the right one? You know what happens many times then? They will go around it the wrong way, and they will try to delight in that person and try to enjoy, and that relationship will become a problem and a hindrance in their life because they're delighting in the wrong thing. Well, let's take it a step farther. What if that one young person is a Christian and the other young person is not a Christian? The Bible says that's wrong. The Bible says we shouldn't be unequally yoked together. But if they begin to delight in that person and their desire is to have, even if their desire is to have a great future together and a great family together and live for God and serve God, they're delighting in the wrong things. God's not going to be able to give them the desires of their heart because they're not delighting in Him. They're not delighting in His Word. What are they delighting in? In a relationship. That's a bad thing. You say, well, how do we bring that to ourselves? See, many times we have found our delight in other things and not in God. And because our delight and our pleasure is not found in God, it's not found in His Word, it's not found in our relationship with Him, it's found in things and possessions and sports and hobbies and relationships. And it's come to the point that we delight in all these other things and we want God to give us the desires of heart. God, we want You to bless this. God, we want You to make this work. God, we want these things to be accomplished. Yes, of course we want to see people saved. Yes, of course we want to see the church filled. You know, but our delight's not in God. We're not taking, and it's like when we open up His Word, it's like, man, I got to read it. I got to read three chapters. Oh, it's Psalms 119 today. I got to read three chapters today, and one of them is the longest chapter in all the Bible. What am I going to do? It's not like, hey, I get to read the Bible. Hey, I get to spend time with God. Hey, I get to be able to tell the people about God. I got to. There's a spot in the Word Bible that talks about how His commandments are grievous to some. That's not the way it's supposed to be. David, a man here that's older, and he's giving his advice. And Psalms 119 alone, I read, I think it was about 9 to 10 different scriptures that says, I love Your law. I love the commandments. I love the statutes. I take pleasure, and there is delight in that. And there's so many people that don't understand this precept. It does not mean if we delight in God, God will give us everything we want. What it means is that as we delight in the Lord, He will put His desires in us. Now, think about it. Our heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. The Bible even says we cannot know or trust our own heart. It's difficult sometimes for us to understand our own motives. It's difficult sometimes for us to understand what to do, where to go, where to turn. But the Bible says that if we live a life that is delighting in God and we put God first, God will then put His desires in our heart. And when this happens, we begin to desire what God wants for us in our lives. See, God wants us to delight in Him and love Him and have pleasure in a relationship with Him so much that whatever His desires are for us, He'll put them in our heart so they will come out and He will be able to answer His will and His desire for our lives. I don't know if this is something that we will all get and we will all understand, but there is a key here and there is an important instruction here that I think we need to take with us. Are we delighting in God? It says it right there. Trust in Him and do good. Then it says, delight thyself in the Lord. And then He connects that amazing promise. He will give us the desires of our hearts. Life does go bad. And sometimes we tend to focus on the problems that arise around us. And when this happens, we become defeated. We become depressed. We fall into sadness. We rise up in anger, sometimes rise up in bitterness. However, all the time, if we would focus on God and focus on Him and delight in what God has done for us, we'd be like in the book of Ephesians that says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. When we learn to delight in Him, He takes His will for us, His desires for us. He places them in us. So when we ask Him to fill our desires and answer our prayers, they are God's desires for us and God's requests He wants us to be asking. So as we consider young people that are getting ready to head off to this spot in life, and we consider even tomorrow in our daily lives, trust in Him. Do good. Learn how to delight in God. It can't be mom and dad making decisions for young people all their lives. But if they'll learn to delight in God, the Bible says that they will give us the desires of our heart. And the third point here is commit to the Lord. See, I think there's an importance to saying, I'm committing to God. Many Christians today criticize and they find fault with God. But they have not committed their way to the Lord. Look what it says in verse number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust. So here's the point. Look, you need to trust in him. You need to do good. You need to delight. Now, come make a commitment. Go before God and you see God's asking you to trust in him. You see God saying, I want you to do good. I'll take care of you. Don't worry about those evildoers. Don't worry about the wickedness. Don't worry about the problems. Don't worry about the issues. If you will trust in me and you will do good, then I will take care of you. Now take it a step farther here. Not only just trust and do good, I want you to actually find delight in our relationship. I actually want you to find pleasure in my word and enjoyment in our relationship together and as we can grow and as we can walk together. And after you begin to delight in me, now I want you to commit. I want you to make a commitment to me. And he said, well, Pastor, I've made commitments before in the past. Sometimes we have to learn to give God time. Look what it says here in verse number 5. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. So once we make a commitment, it goes back to the first step. Okay, I am trusting in him. And look what it says, and he shall bring it to pass. Sometimes you say, Pastor, I've tried, I've made the commitment, and it's so hard and it's so tough. I just gave up because I didn't see my prayers answered just like that. I started delighting in God today, and God didn't answer my prayers tomorrow. There's a problem there. We have to learn to give God time. We have to learn to give God the opportunity to make his desires our desires. And as we commit to him, he will work the things out in our life. Now, let's remind ourselves that God is good. I mean, us that are here today on the way to heaven understands that God is good and that God loves us. And you know what? The rest of the world and those that serve terrible beings. There's people out there to serve idols that are cruel and that are hideous. And there are people out there who have a wrong view of God because they've been introduced to this pagan God. But the God of the Bible is a God that loves us, a God that is a friend of us, a God that cares for us, a God who wants to save you, but also a God who wants you to commit your life and commit your heart to his way and to his focus. And he says, look, once you commit yourself to him, now trust in me. Your lives are in my hands. I will take care of you and I will bring it to pass. And sometimes it takes a little longer than we think, but have we delighted ourselves in God's? Because once we delight in God, then we make that commitment. Committing to God is something that we must have resolved to make it happen. No matter what happens in our lives, we must say, I have made a commitment to God. I'm going to delight in him and trust in his ways. I'm committing to God no matter what burdens come my way. Even in the middle of the storms of life, I want to be committed to God. Even when the trials come and the hardships come, I'm committed to God. I'm not worried about the evildoers. And this we mentioned in the book of Psalms, we mentioned David, but over and over and over in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, this idea is introduced. How come the evildoers? How come the wicked? How come those that are wrong? How come those that scoff at the Bible seem like they're winning, seem like they're succeeding? He says, don't worry about that. Learn to trust in God. But not only just trust in him, delight in him. Be a man or woman after his heart. And then make a commitment. And as you're committing to him, don't just back away from your commitment. I know we've made commitments. I know I've seen young people at camp make commitments. Make that commitment and then trust in him. Allow him to bring it to pass. Psalm 16:3 even says, commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. If we commit our works unto God, he says that even our thoughts shall be established. I mean, I don't know about you, but I know our thought life and the battlefield of our mind is one of the biggest issues in so many Christians' lives. And he's saying, look, if you will commit your works unto me, I'll even establish your thought life. Wow. Young people, all of us, if we truly want to know how to live a successful Christian life, David, as an older man, he's lived for God the majority of his life. Yes, he did fail. We know that he messed up, but he was used by God in a miraculous way many times. It's saying, hey, look, don't worry about those that are wicked. Don't worry about the evildoers. He says, learn to trust in him. Learn to delight in him and then commit to him. This morning, I wonder how many of us have been trusting in him. but we really don't delight in it. This morning, I wonder how many of us really have made a commitment before in the past and says, this is what I'm going to do. God has spoken to my heart, but we did not trust in him enough to let him bring it to pass. We went ahead and just ran back to what we think is right and what we think is best, and we are trusting in ourselves. We missed the whole first point. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Delight in him and commit thy ways to him. He can bring it to pass. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with